Good afternoon, and welcome to Everybody, the podcast which shares stories that highlight people in life that make the world an interesting place, which ultimately ties us all together in unique and wonderful ways. And who am I, you might ask? I would be the head-wrapped socialite, wife, mom, micro-influencer in the fashion and etiquette world. But on this podcast, I will be introducing you to some people who I've had the opportunity to meet along my journey, who have helped enrich me and my life in beautiful ways, and who I hope will do the same in yours. Good afternoon, and welcome to today's episode of Everybody, where my special guest is Kathy Carroll, a person whom I've always known to be kind, will always come to you with a great smile and a huge hug. Welcome, Kathy, to today's episode.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Much. Thank you for being here. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm Kathy in the southwest corner of Minnesota. I'm adopted, and I came to Rochester after high school, where I met my future husband. We were married very young. We were 20. Moved to St. Paul so he could finish his education. And then we moved back to Rochester, where I finished my nursing education and Mike started our in-home family child care. And he was the first male in the state of Minnesota to start in-home family child care.
Oh, wow. I never knew that.
Yes. So I helped him while mm-hmm. I was going to school. Mm-hmm. I graduated as a two-year RN.
Okay.
And started work at St. Mary's. And then I was still helping Mike with the child care. We were very involved with St. John's. Mm-hmm. We joined St. John's in 1976.
So St. John's Catholic Church.
Catholic Church, mm-hmm. yes. And in the early 1980s, Mayo made the decision that LPNs and two-year RNs could no longer work in the hospital setting unless we went back to school. Mm-hmm. We were starting our family. Mm-hmm. I did not want to go back to school. Mm-hmm. And so I started working full-time at the child care.
And in your in-home child care?
In-home child care.
Okay.
And about the late 80s, I believe, Mike decided he wanted to go back to school and get his teaching certification. Mm-hmm. And he did that, and he started working at St. John's, coaching at Lourdes.
In what sport?
He coached three sports.
Wow.
Football, 2 years later, he added girls basketball, and 2 years after that, he added baseball.
Wow. If one sport wasn't enough, let's just
sure.
add more.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
We have three children. Mm-hmm. All three are married. Mm-hmm. My daughter lives in Sioux City, Iowa. My oldest son lives here in Rochester. And my youngest son lives in Idaho.
Wow. That's awesome.
It is. And I just can't say enough about them. They are just... They grew up to be wonderful children in spite of Mike and I, a little bit. But I also give a tremendous amount of credit to the Catholic school systems.
Mm. And how so?
The friendships that we made, mm-hmm. the support that we had, mm-hmm. you know, in raising our children, the phenomenal friends that we have because of the Catholic Church and Lourdes. Mm-hmm. Those aren't our only friends.
Right.
By mm-hmm. any means.
But they're an integral part of your life.
Very integral. And the child care, we had the child care for 46 years.
Oh my gosh.
And I am still in contact with very first parents that we had in the daycare.
Wow. And that's a testament to both you and Mike and the child care business in which you grew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was in-home family child care was it had been around for a while, but mm-hmm. as a licensed child care, it was fairly new in mm-hmm. the 70s. And like I said, I have taken care of grandchildren.
How many children would you take care of at any given moment?
We were licensed for 14.
Okay.
And so there were a number of years where we had two homes. Because childcare was in such demand.
Right.
And so we had some phenomenal help aides, and Mike would go between the two houses.
Wow.
And they were in within a block or two of each other, so it wasn't like they were across town.
Right. I want to ask you about Mike.
Okay.
How did you and Mike meet?
We both were students at RCTC.
Okay. Love RCTC.
Yep. And we met there, and I don't know what, I couldn't even tell you what the connection was from the day we met.
Wow.
So we met the fall of 1969, and we were married the summer of 1972.
Is that not a love story?
Yeah.
I love it.
Just, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, it was a good marriage. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say we didn't have any problems because we did, but right. It was a marriage. We were able to talk to each other and communicate with each other, problems that we had, work things out. We were both supportive of each other and what we wanted to do. We were able to talk about things so that if we wanted to make changes in our lives, is this going to work for our family and for each other?
Wow. First of all, I have scoured your Facebook posts and pictures, and I can see why you fell in love with Mike. Talk about handsome. Holy buckets.
Like, he was pretty good looking.
And I love the pictures that you put on your Facebook, the posts that you make, because they always seem to be so thoughtful. And you had posted about raising good children. What advice could you give to parents? What is something that you've learned along the way?
I think you have to understand that raising your children isn't something that you do only with you and your husband. That it truly does take a village. I see a lot of parents relying on what they read on social media. I'm not saying it's all bad.
Right.
But I do see some of the advice that they're getting on social media is not the best. And I can't give you specifics.
Okay.
If it were to pop up,
right.
Yes, then I could.
Right.
I don't have all the answers to raising kids. You know, I raised hundreds and hundreds of children that weren't my own. But I did help. I think I helped those parents. And I think that's why we have those lasting friendships. We listen to each other. And I think that's, as a parent, you have to listen to other people.
Right.
And you can take the advice that they give you or not.
Right.
But I think you truly have to really listen and bring in and process what people have to say.
Absolutely.
You know, grandparents, parents, they've learned oftentimes the hard way.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
How to raise your children and what to do right and what to do wrong. Our kids aren't perfect. Right. We weren't perfect parents by any means. We made mistakes.
Right.
But I think to learn from those mistakes, admit that you made those mistakes. And to move on. And I think as parents, you have to have a phenomenal amount of empathy. And you have to teach your children how to be empathetic people. And sometimes I really question whether that's being taught anymore.
I will tell you, I don't know if you remember this one day teaching empathy, but my girlfriend and I, we happened to be walking downtown one summer day. We came across you and a group of your daycare children, and all of these years later, what I found to be so special about that encounter is that when my friend and I, we were walking past you,
and we stopped to chat, all the children were very attentive to you. They followed your lead. And I remember what struck me about that is that you had said to them, say good morning. Say good morning. And I thought to myself, that's how I grew up. It didn't matter if you were just passing a stranger on the street. Mm-hmm. It was to offer that good morning or that hello. And you were teaching and you were reinforcing maybe what some of the parents had already taught them, but you were reinforcing and teaching that to those children. It's something that I never forgot about you and how I know it to be the truth of who you are as a person is a lot of times I'm downtown and I run into your son and it never ceases to amaze me that he is in the middle of a job doing what he has to do and he will always make it a point to make eye contact with me and to give me a top of the morning. And again, that makes me think about that encounter that we had that day. And this is one of those moments where I know that God has placed certain people in my life to teach me something by the people that I encounter.
So important. Mm-hmm. And it takes seconds to smile at somebody. My grandkids have been in the grocery store with me a few times. Mm-hmm. I always acknowledge the cashier or the bagger by their names. They have name tags on. Grandma, do you know them? Mm-hmm. No. How did you know that that was their name? They have a name tag. Mm-hmm. Call them by their names. Mm. It takes 3 seconds to read the name.
That's true.
And to say, thank you, whomever. Mm-hmm. And I said, maybe I'm the one and only, maybe I'm the 10th person that has called them by name. Right. But I know when I go someplace and somebody acknowledges me and acknowledges my name, that means so much to me. And I have to pass that on.
Amen.
And I want the kids to learn that too, that, you know, if, well, what if that person doesn't want you to call them? Then that's on them.
Right.
You know, I did what I thought was right.
Right.
And if they didn't like it, so be it.
So be it.
Mm-hmm. I can't do anything about that.
Importance of validating someone and showing respect and kindness for another human being. And it only, like you said, takes 1 second to acknowledge someone and make them know that you see them, that they're just not a cashier, just not a bagger, mm-hmm. that they matter. And that brings me to a post that you had made. And if I could take a moment of your time and possibly paraphrase this, again, I will probably just like butcher this. But basically, it's train people up in the way that you would have them go. Goodness matters. Kindness matters. Always. And teaching our children when they're young so that it's something that they stand in for the rest of their life. Like they will never forget that.
Yeah, and it's important for your children as they get older that they have learned this where they don't even have to think about it.
Yes.
It is just their nature.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. it's like I never leave my family mm-hmm. without saying I love you.
Oh, I love it.
And we've always done that, but it has become far more important yes. since my husband died. Mm. Because you never know when it's the last yes. time that you can say that to someone. Mm. And, you know, if that person goes out of your life, however, whether through death, moving, you are left with, oh my gosh, I didn't tell them I loved them. Mm. You know, that's something that never goes away.
Right.
That's with you forever. But if you can say, oh, I'm so glad I got to say I love you.
Right.
It's important. And it's important to the person that you're saying it to.
I agree.
And, you know, for me to leave the house and my grandkids say, love you, Grandma.
Mm.
Oh, You know, yeah. Is there anything better?
Nothing better.
Yeah.
Nothing better.
Or the dog that licks you in the face.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know.
Right, his or her way of showing you, I love you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I know there are people that don't like hugs, mm-hmm. but boy, a hug to me just warms my heart. It right. just, I'm a hugger.
Right.
And I get that some people don't like it. I you know, not judging in any way, right. shape, or form. But. Right.
And that's what I appreciate about you. I remember when my mother passed and you came over and it was like the heart-to-heart connection. I get it, you said, with your heart, with your spirit. Mm-hmm. I get it. And I love you. For me, it's one of those things to say a simple I love you, to give a simple hug, doesn't cost anything.
No, and people can see in your eyes and they can feel in your hug or your touch the sincerity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to be very blunt, since my husband has passed away, I know the people that ask how I'm doing, whether it's just for them the right thing to ask.
Right.
Or the people that really do want to know.
Right.
And I'm not saying that either is right or wrong.
Right.
I'm in no way saying that. Right. But you do learn. And I appreciate anybody asking me.
Absolutely.
How are you doing?
Right.
I don't care if it's just a passing statement. Right. And they've taken the time to utter that. Mm-hmm. And if I say, I'm doing fine, I'm okay.
Right.
Great. Mm-hmm. But that person has taken that 15 seconds, 20 seconds, whatever it took, to look at me and ask how I'm doing.
I love that. And you're absolutely right. Whether it's a nicety in the moment or it doesn't matter. It's that connection. Again, I think it goes back to, I see you. I want you to know I see you. Because I might not have the words for how I would like to ask you how you're doing in the moment, you know, because maybe that wasn't taught to them and they're just doing and going through the motions of what they can offer at that right. moment, right?
And I tell people, and this was before my husband died, I'd read a book called Being Mortal. Mm. The premise of the book is that Western civilization is not prepared for death. Mm. So because of that, when someone dies, we don't know what to say.
I agree.
And we're uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, do I really want to know how she's doing he's doing?
That's it.
Mm-hmm. You know, so they're kind of afraid to ask. Mm-hmm. And I get it. I totally do.
Yeah.
But I think it's really important for, again, that empathy where take that minute. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care if it's been 1 year or 25 years, take that minute to just let that person know that all you need to do is
reach out,
say, how are you doing?
I agree.
And if I say I'm fine, then leave it at that. Mm-hmm. Good.
I agree. I think you said it so beautifully, because I think a lot of times when we are dealing with death, especially of a loved one that's so close, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't know person to be uncomfortable, right? And I'm like, oh, if I say this to this person, they might break down. But then when the tables were turned, I was like, I almost wanted people to ask me so that I could have that release, if that makes sense.
Yes, right? It does. Even if it's just like, oh, okay, they asked.
Yes.
That's good. Let's
delve into this.
Or not.
And then we can proceed.
Yeah.
Versus skirting around the issue and making that an uncomfortable piece where you know someone might want to ask and you can feel it. Again, it's that heart-to-heart connection, but they don't, you know, is it my place? Am I overstepping my boundaries? Just from my own personal experience, and I know other people will be different, reach out, ask the question, listen to the answer, even if it comes to, I'm okay.
Yeah.
That's the answer in the moment, right?
Yeah. And, you know, and it's death, children going away to college. Mm. That's not easy.
No.
You know, when you've had a child with you for 18 years or 17, and they go off to college, and did I prepare them are they going to be okay? And, you know, how do I let go and distance, but still hang on?
Yeah.
You know, and that's tough. And, and I think there's many, as a parent, there's many times in our lives where, oh, did I prepare my child for this? And now I have to let go, and I can't be a helicopter parent, a hovering, you know, I'm not going to call him every day. But if I haven't heard from you for 3 days, I am going to call you.
Oh, you better believe I'm going to call. You better believe I'm going to call.
Yeah. We still have ground rules.
Exactly.
Well, and that's our responsibility.
Yes, for sure.
Parenting isn't something that stops just because you're in college or just because you're married.
That is true.
I will back off if you are married, but I'm still your mother.
Amen.
And I still love you. I don't care if you're 19 or my oldest son just turned 40.
Wow.
You know, you're still my son.
Yeah.
And I still care about you, and I still love you, and and I need to hear from you.
I agree. I think that's I think with any parent, right? It's like we will always be your parents.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think that's why I have found that the friendships that I have made through church, through their education, those friends are still with me. And I, you know, I've had those friends for 40 or more years. And since I've retired, I try and go to daily mass. There are many people in that church that go to daily mass. I couldn't tell you their names.
Right.
But we always smile at each other. And, geez, I haven't seen you in church for a few days. Yes. Have you been okay? They don't know me. I don't know them.
Right.
Other than the fact that we see each other there.
Right.
And that's why that whole life journey and those pieces of it have been so important.
I agree.
And have carried me through whatever I've done.
I love it. Going back to the people that you've met along the journey, if there's one piece of advice you could give anyone, what would it be?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I don't know if I'm smart enough to give advice.
Oh, yes, you are.
You know, even if you don't have daily contact, even if you don't have monthly contact, at some point, reach out. To be honest, as much as I dislike social media sometimes, I do like the fact that you can just text somebody that you haven't had a conversation with for a long time.
For sure.
How you doing? Thinking of you. Just wanted to reach out. And that maybe that's all. And like I said, there are people that we have been acquaintances with for a long, long time. Maybe closer friends at one time, but life has just separated us. But to always kind of make the effort at some point to reach out to those people and let them know that they still matter to you.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And, you know, it doesn't have to be a daily contact, but, you know, if I hear from somebody that I haven't heard from maybe for a year, it's like, oh, that's kind of cool.
That is awesome.
They still remember me.
Absolutely. How
good or bad?
How could they forget you? How could they forget you, my friend?
Some people would want to.
No.
But, I think that's important. It's important to me,
right,
to have that in my life.
I agree. And I think if there's one thing, even like the pandemic's taught me, is that people need people. We can't do this world by ourselves. As social creatures that we are, people need people.
You do. And like I said, it doesn't have to be a friend that you're in contact with every single day or even monthly. The cashier at the grocery store, just to be able to go in there and say, thank you, Donna. That to me, I don't know if I've made her day, I hope, but by me saying that to her, it's made my day.
Amen.
You know, it's made me a happier, better person.
Right.
that I reached out to that person and took the 10 seconds to read her name tag, his name tag.
Right. It's a gift that you offered freely to someone else, but in all essence, it's a gift, you know, that helps your spirit as well.
Well, and how doesn't it make you feel good when somebody, even if you don't know them, yes. smiles at you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Or says hi or, you know.
Yeah. I recognize you, spirit. I recognize you. And I just want you to know that I see you.
Yeah.
You know, and I just keep going back to, you know, everybody wants to be seen. They want to be felt. They want to be heard. They want to be made to feel as if their life matters, right?
Well, and I think it's very, very important, too, for adults to do the same to not only the young kids, but especially the teenagers and the adolescents. Mm-hmm. You know, confirmation students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't know me, but they recognize me.
Right.
And they'll smile and wave at me. Mm-hmm. My grandsons both play basketball. Mm-hmm. I'm at their games. I've decided for my funeral, we're having bleachers.
Oh my goodness.
At my funeral.
I love it. Okay.
and the funeral is going to take place an hour later. So everybody has to sit on the bleacher for as long as I've had to sit on bleachers.
That's fantastic.
I have been going to games since 1982. I've had to sit on bleachers.
Can we bring those special like seating pads though?
That's what I want to know. If you want, sure. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. That's acceptable.
You're ridiculous.
Yeah. So.
So, I've totally enjoyed this time that we have spent honestly together. Like, this has been the highlight of my day.
Have a really boring day.
Oh my gosh, whatever. You just bring so much joy and happiness and just, I don't know, just an overwhelming peace that I feel when, like, seriously, when my spirit connects to your spirit.
Well, and it's equal for me also. And just the, you know, the chance that I have to smile and say hi to people, you don't know if you're the only person that has done that for them for the day.
That's it.
Or you could have been the 100th person that did it, but that doesn't make any difference.
I agree.
That if I could bring them, like I said, that 10 or 15 seconds of happiness by smiling at them and saying hi.
Mm-hmm. You've made someone say.
Yeah. And me.
And you.
I get as much back from that as I give.
That's beautiful. And I think that's the appropriate way to add it into a part of your daily journey. Choose a cashier, choose someone that you come into contact with in the office to offer that hello. By name, it's important to reach out and say a sincere, a heartfelt hello and mean it from the bottom of your soul.
Yeah. And it takes zero effort.
And cost.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
But it brings a world of happiness.
To that person and to you.
Amen, my friend.
And I think that's important too.
I agree. Thank you so much for joining on this episode. And I just love you. I do. And
thank you. I love you too, Trina.
So glad that you have been a part of my journey. And there are so many wonderful things that honestly that I can say about you and the gifts that you and your husband and even your children have brought to our lives. Just
you
have enriched my life and my children's life and my husband's life so much by just knowing you. I am so glad that God has placed us on the same path.
And I feel the same about you and your family.
Oh.
So.
God bless you, my friend. And I hope at another time you would like to sit down again and we could, you know, play. I don't even know what Parcheesi is, but we
could
play.
Oh, I have no idea.
Okay, so let's pick another game. Play Scrabble or
Dominoes.
Checkers. Backgammon.
Let me see. No, not backgammon.
Go fish.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
We have to pick a kid's game. Rummy Cube.
Mahjong. That's
no,
another one.
Yes, I haven't played that.
Oh, I've played that a couple times. I am terrible at it, but I've played it before.
Well, there you
That's
go.
That's fun.
Okay.
That's kind of like dominoes, but not really.
Well, forgive me if I play you like a three-year-old.
Or we could just sit and grab a cup of tea and read a book.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Is that a deal? Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay. God bless you, my friend. Right, and thanks for joining.
Oh, thank you, Trina.
You're welcome.